For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
It is January the 2nd, and we are in Treyasa and Hoshea in Perek Yud, chapter 10. We have in various Svarim, you have it in Sefer Yechezkel, you have it in Sefer Yeshaya, that Chazal tell us that although the Sefer may begin with a certain Perek, that's not really the beginning of the Nevuah of that particular Navi. Even though that's the Sefer may be written in a way that it appears that Perek Aleph is the beginning of his Nevuah, but really it's a different part of the Sefer. Hoshea is the same way. And here in Perek Yud, Chazal tells this is really the first Nevuah of Hoshea. It really begins here. So, of course, that always begs the question, why is it arranged differently? The Chazal tells in Muktam u'Me'ucha ba'Torah that the Torah is not written in chronological order, and neither are the Nevi'im. They don't have to be written in chronological order, but they are written in an order, and the order is there definitely there for a reason. In Hoshea, it's a little more difficult to pin that down, because as you see from what we've gone through, it's hard to pick out a storyline or a theme. We see that Hoshea is giving a lot of mussar to the Bnei Yisrael. This parak is not going to be any different. We're going to have some serious mussar here again. Towards the end of the Sefer, we're getting towards the end, things will kind of turn around a little bit and there'll be some hope. We know that Hoshea began with that entire story of Hashem telling Hoshea to go to a zona, to a prostitute, and marry her, and then have children from her. And you know, that whole process over there, in which Hashem was giving mussar to Hoshea, because Hoshea told Hashem, you should forsake the Jewish people and go take another nation. So Hashem was giving Hoshea mussar that, in here, you're going to go and marry this woman and you're going to have children. You're not even going to be certain that those children are yours. And yet, when I tell you to divorce her, you're not going to want to divorce her. You're going to want to stay with her. So you see, and you're telling me to let go of my people. So Hoshea realized that he didn't Avera, and he turned around and he davened for a Klal Yisrael. So the way the Sefer is arranged is that Hashem starts off with a tzivoy, with a commandment to Hoshea, so that Hoshea can be admonished for his reaction to the Bnei Yisrael. But we're not told any context, a reaction from what? Now, we know the reaction from what, because we learned Sefer Malachim, so we know what was going on, especially in the Northern Kingdom. But the Sefer of Hoshea doesn't tell us what was he reacting to. Only after those first couple of prakim, where we get that mussar to Hoshea, and Hoshea turns around and he tells Hashem, he davens to Hashem to save the Jewish people and help the Jewish people, then we get into the real mussar that Hoshea gives the Bnei Yisrael, and you see all the bad that Bnei Yisrael was doing. So it's understandable why Hashem told the Navi to put the first parak of Hoshea where it is, even though it's not chronological. It's clearly not chronological, because the first parak is a reaction to everything that comes after the first parak. So clearly, that's out of order, and that's understandable. We don't want to start the Sefer with all this negativity. We want to start the Sefer with Hashem making it clear that despite all the negativity, he demands from the Nevi'im that they not give up on the Jewish people, and instead they daven for us, and that they hope for our better. So that is understandable. That much is I think clear, and I think that one can understand that. And I think that is a beautiful message for us, that you see all this negativity. Last time we learned, it was horrific the type of mussar that we were given. And here we're going to have some pretty tough mussar again. But we see that Hashem is not interested in the mussar damaging us or destroying us, but rather the mussar is there to improve us. That's a strong message. What's difficult to pin down is after you get through those first few prakim where you have that story and that story ends, why does the Navi then not move immediately to here, which is chronologically the first Nevuah of Hoshea? Why do you have those other prakim of mussar between that story and here? And that I don't have an answer for, because as I said, it's hard to pick up what the theme of the Musar is. Why did he speak about this over here and that over here? Especially in the same parak, you have various themes going on simultaneously. It's hard to pick it up. With a lot more study of Hosea, I'm sure one can come up with a more uniform theme and figure that out. But it's beyond me at this point to give a good answer why Perek Yud is not, for example, Perek Dalet. That I don't have. But why it's not Perek Aleph, I think that we can say clearly. Yes?
You know, I'm just going by the English translation.
Yeah.
But it says, when the Lord spoke at first with Hosea, the Lord said...
You mean back in the beginning?
Yeah.
The very first pasuk could be in order, but then the actual storyline. Let's go back over there. Yeah. Yeah. No, I see that. Yeah, so Chazal tells us, as we mentioned back then, that means that he was the first of the four Nevi'im. Those Nevi'im that lived at the same time as Hosea, which is Hosea, Amos, Yeshayahu, and... Who's the other one? And... Micha. That he's the first of those four. He's the... Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
How many years are we talking about?
I don't know how many years Hosea was a Nevi for. Don't know. He was. We know which. It says in the beginning, they said for when he lived, which kings he lived during, and he lived during a lot of kings. He lived a relatively long time, as it says in the beginning, Uzziah, Yosam, Achaz, Hezekiahu. So he lived through four different kings, but I don't know the Nevuahs themselves. I don't know how long they spent. As we don't get sometimes in different Nevi'im, it'll tell you. In the third year of such and such a king, this is when he had this Nevuah, and then the fourth year. But here it doesn't do that. Hosea it's a straight Nevuah, and you don't see the time frame specifically of each Nevuah.
I think it's also hard because we're not seeing why he's being soft at certain times and why he's being very harsh at certain times, because we can't pinpoint it.
Right. I don't think it's an insurmountable obstacle. I think it's something one can, with a lot of scholarship, figure out, but it takes some time, and I certainly don't have that understanding of Hosea at this time. Okay. Perek Yud, verse 10, chapter 10, Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Geffen Bokek Yisrael Priyashavelo. Now, Geffen Bokek, Geffen is a vine, and Bokek means that it's not a good one. It's dropping its grapes. The grapes are falling off prematurely. So Yisrael is a Geffen Bokek. It's not a good vine. It's a vine that isn't doing well. Priyashavelo, it is getting the fruit that it deserves, meaning the Bnei Yisrael are getting what they deserve, because Kirov Lefirio Hir Balamizbachos. The abundance of produce that he got, that Klal Yisrael got, they instead gave it to the altars, meaning to the Avodah Zarah. Kitov la'artso, all that was good for his land, heitivu matzevos. They ended up using good for idolatry, for different types of worship. So it was not used for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Instead, all the good that was given to the Bnei Yisrael, they were using for Avodah Zarah and for other things. We should say it anyway, even though it is obvious, when Hashem gives bracha to people, it is meant to be used in Hashem's service, and when it's used for other things, then it is a bad thing. Chalak libam ata yashamu. Their hearts are separated from me. Chalak, to be against or separated. They're separated. Their hearts are separated from me. Ata yashamu. Now they will be punished. Hu yarof mizbechosam. It will break down their altars. Ye shodeid matzevosam. It will destroy their another word for altar. Now we had a pasuk earlier in Perek Dalid, chapter 4. Yeah. Pasuk Yud Zayin, chapter 7, verse 17. The pasuk there says, Chavur Atzabim Ephraim. Ephraim is connected to idols. Hanachlo, leave him. Now we learned over there the simple meaning, which is leave him, let him be, and let him get hurt. And don't save him because he is so involved. There's no point in even trying to save him because he's so connected to the idols. There's no point in trying to even give him Musar. He's a lost cause. That was the simple meaning over there. However, Chazal tells the following. Chavur Atzabim Ephraim. Ephraim, who is involved in idolatry, is Chavur, from the word Chaver, is connected. They're connected to each other. There is Shalom among them. Hanachlo, therefore, leave them alone. Do not punish them. Even though they're involved in idolatry, but since there is Shalom among them, leave them alone. However, over here, in Perek Yud, in chapter 10, Pasuk Beis, verse 2, Chalak libam, they are separated, meaning from each other, they are fighting with each other, Ata yeshamu, now they will be punished. So a statement that the when Klal Yisrael is b'shalom with each other, then Hashem gives a pass to many of the averus that we do, unfortunately. We still get a pass when there is shalom among us. The Chazal tell us this already from the contrast between the Dor HaMabul, the generation of the flood, and the Dor HaFlaga, the generation of the Migdal Bavel, the Tower of Bavel, where the generation of the flood were destroyed because there was terrible machlokas among them. Whereas Migdal Bavel, although they were punished, but they were not destroyed because there at least was shalom among them. So here you have the same lesson, in fact, the same medrash that talks about the contrast between the Dor HaMabul, Dor HaFlaga, brings this pasuk here as well to show the contrast between Klal Yisrael doing averos, but b'shalom, and Klal Yisrael doing averos and not being b'shalom. That's what triggers the punishment. This is implied, although it's not exactly the same lesson, but it is implied, as we know, when in the beginning of Parshas Noach, when Hashem tells the Noach that he's going to destroy the world, and after mentioning the various averus that people were doing, but it says Kimala haaretz chamas mipneihem, the world is full of theft, and the Gemara tells us that with a basket full of averos, theft is the one that is mekatreg, is the one that prosecutes first. And that is a form of this, because theft only happens when there is no shalom. People are grabbing from each other. That is a form of this as well. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Kiata yomru ein melech lanu. Now they will say there is no king for us, meaning the king that we have is not doing anything for us. The king that we have in the northern kingdom is not helping us at all. Kilo yoreinu es Hashem, we didn't fear Hashem, v'amelech mayas alanu, what's the king going to do for us? We didn't fear Hashem, and we're getting punished, and the king can't do anything for us. He can't help us if we didn't fear Hashem. Dibru devarim alos shav karos bris. They've spoken words, they've made false promises in making a covenant, they've not kept their covenant, they've broken their promises. Ufarach karosh mishpat, and they have spread karosh. Now rosh, you know, means head, but the rosh can also be a type of weed, a type of bitter grass is also called rosh. We have it in Parshas Ha'azinu. Pore rosh v'la'ana. Rosh means a type. It's a type of weed. So here also they spread like a weed in judgment. Al talmei sadai, on the furrows of my field. So this reference to the furrows of the field, Chazal have various explanations for this. It either means that they spread like the grains on the field. Their evil spreads like the grains on the field spread, or it means that it was on the fields where they worshipped the Avodah Zarah. That's where they put up all of their altars. So that's where the punishment happens. Or it could also mean, let me just look over here for the. There's an explanation I forgot. Oh yes, because they would encroach on people's land. They would move the boundaries between people's lands in order to get more land. You can't really steal land, meaning land can't be moved, but you can claim ownership to land and really belongs to somebody else. So one way that was done was by taking the pegs that would mark the boundaries of the fields and move them over. Yeah.
Were they observing Shemitah? Were they observing the Jubilee year?
So that's a good question. It seems that Klal Yisrael were taking the task for not keeping Shemitah. We're talking about in the first Beis HaMikdash. But that was true of the southern kingdom as well. The years of the 70 years of Golus Bavel were to make up for the years of Shemitah and Yovel they didn't keep. Now they didn't not keep it the entire time. They had been in Israel for 850 years before they went into Golus, the southern kingdom. But for those years they didn't keep it, they were punished for. The northern kingdom, I don't think that's specifically mentioned because they were worshipping Avodah Zarah so much, and that's the main Aver. So I don't know if this is singled out as a problem for the northern kingdom.
Because once you say that people are not keeping boundaries,
yes,
and trying to encroach in somebody else's land, you know, that's a futile exercise if you're going to keep Shemitah
right.
and Jubilee.
Right, right.
You're only going to do that if you're...
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. Pasuk Hey, Leglos Beis Oven for the Egels, for the calves of Beis Oven. You'll recall that the northern kingdom were guilty of two calves that they worshipped. So for the calves of Beis Oven, Yoguru Shechan Shomron, those who live in Shomron will be frightened, which means that because of those eglos, because of those eagles, therefore they will be attacked, and that will cause fear to those who dwell in Shomron. Shomron is the capital of the northern kingdom. Ki aval alav amo, because his nation will be in mourning over him, meaning over those eglos. Uchemarav alav yagilu, and those priests who used to be joyous over those calves, Al Kavodo Kigala Mimenu. They will now be mourning over his honor, meaning the honor of those calves, that they have now been taken into Galus. What happened is that it happened in two stages, but the various kings that conquered the northern kingdom, they ended up taking those calves into with them as spoils of war, and they took one then the other. And they ended up, the northern kingdom that liked those calves, so they ended up going to mourning over the loss of the calves. Gamo Soli Ashur Yuval, also it will be taken to Ashur, to Assyria. Mincha Lamelech Yarev, a mincha, a present, it will be to a king as a gift. That's Sancheriv, that he'll take one of the Agolim. Bashna Ephraim Yikach, the embarrassment of Ephraim will be taken. Vyevosh Yisrael Me'atzaso, and Yisrael will be ashamed from his Eitza, from his advice, because when you're Avam Ben Nevat, first put up those agalim, he got it, he asked around, he polled the people, and the people were interested in those agalim. And now Yisrael will be ashamed from it. Nidme Shomron Malka, Shomron, its king, will be quiet, will be silent. Keketzef al pnei mayim, like ketzef on the face of the water. Ketzef are like bubbles. Bubbles on the water, they're there for a few seconds and they pop and they're gone. So Shomron, meaning the government of the northern kingdom, will be silent. They will not be able to say anything as this destruction is happening. The Nishbenu Bamos Oven, and the altars of sin will be destroyed. Chatas Yisrael Kotz Vidardar Yala Mizbechosam. The sin of Yisrael, thorns and weeds will grow on their altars. They will fall into disuse. V'amru leharim kasunu, they will say to the mountains, cover us, because they'll be in shame, though, when we cover it up. V'lagavaos niflu aleinu, and to the hills fall upon us, meaning to save us from our shame. We find many times in Tanakh that harim and gavaos, harim are very large mountains, gavaos are smaller mountains. We find many, many times that the harim, the mountains, are a reference to the Avos, to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And the Gavos, the hills, are a reference to our Imahos, Sarif, Garachal, and Leah. And here, it is very likely that this is being referenced as well, that they are saying to the Harim, they're calling out to the Avos, Kasunu, cover us, V'la Gavos, and to the Imahos, Niflu, Alenu, fall upon us, meaning give us, save us from our shame, be there as our Zuchus to help us. Unfortunately, the Zuchus of the Avos and the Imahos is only available when people try to act like the Avos and the Imahos. Even though we know that we fall short from living up to where our Avos and Imahos were, but the Gemara says a person is mechuyev to say, a person is obligated to say, Ad masai yagiu masai lamasai avosai. When will my deeds reach the deeds of my ancestors? When will I be as great as Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? When will I be as great as Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah? That's what we are obligated to say. Why are we obligated to say that? What's so significant about that? And the answer is because when we strive to be like them, then their zchus stands for us. Because then we can claim that we are their children. We're biologically their children, and we are spiritually their children. We are their heirs. We're trying to live up to them. So even though we fall short, but Hashem says that we are identifying with them, and therefore their zechus stands for us. But when people reject their lineage to the Avos and the Imahos, and they reject the standards that the Avos and Imahos set for Klal Yisrael, and they say we're not interested, then unfortunately they lose the zechus of the Avos and Imahos, because what they're saying is that they're not identifying with them as our ancestors. Here, Klal Yisrael seems to be calling out to the Avos and the Imahos. Pasuk 10, verse 9, Mimea Giva, from the days of Giva, this is a reference to Pilegesh B'Giva, we had a reference before to that as well. A quick synopsis of that story, because this pasuk is going to reference parts of that story. In Pilegesh B'Giva, which is in Sefer Shoftim, we have not learned that together yet. There was an unfortunate incident in which the tribe of Binyamin acted in a manner that was inappropriate, and as a result, what happened is there was a terrible act that took place in one of the cities of Binyamin. Binyamin refused to take action and bring justice to what happened in that city. The rest of Klal Yisrael therefore came against Binyamin, saying to Binyamin, if you're not going to do justice, then we are going to have to attack. Binyamin refused, and all of Klal Yisrael attacked Binyamin. They attacked once, and Binyamin won the first war. They attacked twice, and Binyamin won the second war. And then they finally asked Hashem whether they should attack or not, and finally Hashem told them they should. They attacked, and they decimated Binyamin, nearly wiping out the Shevet of Binyamin. So the Navi here says, Mimea Giva, from the days of the Giva, Plegesh Begiva, Chatasa Yisrael, you sinned. Sham Amadu, there they stood, Lo Sasi Gim Bagiva, they were not able to be reached in the Giva. I do not recall what that is a reference to. I'm sorry, give me 1 minute, please. Let me read the rest of the pasuk. Lo sasigim agiva milchama, war al bnei alva, on those who did iniquity. That is the bnei Binyamin who refused to do justice against those that had done their terrible act. Yes, okay. Sham amadu, there they stood, which means they stayed that way. After bnei Yisrael acted in that manner in the Giva, they continued to act that way. Even though there was such a terrible calamity that took place with all of what happened in the Giva, yet Klal Yisrael continued to act in their rebellious ways. I still don't know what Lo Sasi Gim, which means they didn't reach. I still don't remember what that is. Rashi says, I believe it is a reference to that they were not able at first to defeat Binyamin. They were not able to reach them in the war. They tried, they attacked Binyamin a few times and were not able to do so and were defeated and with heavy losses. That the Bnei Yisrael lost a lot of lives in that civil war. And that was because of all the sins that were going on. Pasuk Yud.
Excuse me, the rest of Bnei Yisrael was doing sinning too.
Yes.
Even though they didn't do anything as bad.
They did not do what Binyamin did. But the,
okay,
but the,
so you go to fight somebody and you're fighting on Hashem's side.
Yeah,
you're fighting with the agreed upon rules that were all going to observe the Torah.
No, they see, what happened over there was they did not go to war properly. It's a little bit complex to go through what happened over there, but the first two times they attacked Binyamin, they did not go through the proper protocol. And because of that, they were defeated. Now, that they didn't go through the proper protocol didn't happen in a vacuum. That's because there was a larger general laxity, and that's what brought about the calamity over there. And that's another thing he's saying. That continued. It didn't stop with that. People didn't learn their lesson. They continued to behave in manners that were not appropriate. Ba'avasi ve'esareim, when I want to, I will remove them. Ve'usfu aleihem amim, and it will gather against them nations. Ki'asram lishtei avonosam, when they are taken captive for their two sins. Ve'efrayim egla milumada ohavti ladush, and Ephraim is a calf. Now we're comparing Ephraim to a calf himself. The northern kingdom is like a calf that is accustomed, that loves ladush. Ladush means to just run wild. Vani avarti al tuv tzavara, and I have passed over on the good of its neck, which means I've reined him in. Arkiv Ephraim yacharosh Yehuda, I cause Ephraim, if you want Ephraim to be able to ride on top of those who are attacking him, in other words, you want him to get the upper hand, Yacharosh Yehuda, Yehuda should plow, which means that Ephraim needs to learn from Yehuda, which means Yehuda needs to set an example for Ephraim to learn from, so that in the end, Yesaded lo Yaakov. Yesaded comes from the word sadeh, field. Yesaded lo Yaakov, Yaakov will provide from a field. There is obviously a mushel going on here comparing the whole concept of having a field and plowing the field, and the field grows wonderful things. Ephraim is in a bad place because Ephraim is like a calf that wants to run wild and doesn't want to plow the field, doesn't want to do what it's supposed to do. And therefore the enemies come against Ephraim. But if Ephraim, if you want that Ephraim should be able to defeat its enemies and instead be on top and be able to be in a good place, then there has to be plowing, there has to be a field that is done properly. And that is learned from Yehuda. The southern kingdom needs to be an example for the northern kingdom in order to prevent the northern kingdom from being conquered and being taken away. Which means that unfortunately, when the northern kingdom is taken away, there is some culpability on the southern kingdom for the example that was not properly set or not set enough to prevent the northern kingdom from the calamity that happened. Now, Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12, is a very, it's a rich pasuk, and it's quoted a lot in Chazal. I have several Gemaras here that quote it. I'm going to read it through, but we're going to come back to it after we finish the parak. We'll finish the parak first, then come back to this pasuk. Ziru lachem litzdakah, sow for yourselves for tzedakah, kitzru lefi chesed, reap according to kindness, niru lachem nir, you should plow a field. The Ace Lidrosh Es Hashem, and a time to seek out Hashem, Ad Yavo V'yoret Tzedek Lachem, until He comes and shows righteousness to you. The way to access Hashem, and that Hashem should be should show us righteousness, that is by sowing with tzedakah, with charity, and reaping according to chesed, according to kindness. Tzedakah and chesed are mentioned here in this pasuk as ways of accessing Hashem for your tzedek lachem. Now, what does it mean to access Hashem until He comes and shows you righteousness? Either it means that way you'll be able to access Hashem when He comes in the times of Mashiach, or it means you'll be able to access Hashem when He comes to punish, but we will be prepared and be able to access Hashem and be protected instead of punished. Those things are accomplished through sowing with tzedakah and reaping with chesed. So again, we're going to come back to that reference to tzedakah and to chesed. And essentially, Hosea is giving the formula to Klal Yisrael to avoid all of the calamity that he is talking about. Instead, he says, Harashtem resha, you plowed evil. Avlosa kitzartem, you then reaped against sin. Achaltem prichachash, you ate the produce of deceit. Kivatachta bedarkecha, because you relied on your own way. Berov giborecha, on the strength of your warriors. That's who you relied on rather than Hashem. V'kam sha'on be'amecha, and therefore destruction rose up against your nation. V'chom yivtzarecha, and you shut, and all of your fortifications were destroyed. Kishod shalman beis arbel b'yom milchama, like a shalman, here's from the word shalom, like a place that's at peace is destroyed. Beis arbel, from the word arav, from an ambush on the day of milchama. Rashi explains that this is like a place that is fortified but is not expecting an attack. And then they are attacked. Emal banim rutasha, the mother with the children, are lost. That there's no even a fortified place that's well protected, but if they're not ready for an attack and they are suddenly ambushed, they can be lost. Kacha salachem beis el, so it is done to you beis el, mipnei ra'as ra'aschem, because of all your evil. Bashachar nidmo nidma melech Yisrael, you are like a king, you're the king of Israel, you are like someone who in the morning falls asleep. It's the morning and you really should be vigilant, it's daytime, and instead you're falling asleep. You didn't have that coffee and you're falling asleep in the morning, meaning that there's an ambush going on, you don't even realize it. So as we said back in Pasuk Yud Beis, Ziru lachem litzdakah, sow for yourselves for tzedakah, and kitzru fi chesed, and then reap for chesed. I want to read you several gemaras about the reference here to tzedakah and to chesed. This is really half of a formula that is being said over here in Hosea, and it is meant to be coupled with another pasuk as well. Gemara tells us in Meseches, we'll start with Meseches Sukkah, is on Memtes Amid Beis on 49b. So the Gemara says as follows: Amar Rav Elazar, Gadol ha'oset tzedakah yosu mikol ha'karbonos. One of the tzedakah is greater than all of the karbonos. Shenemar, asa tzedakah umishpat nivchar la'Hashem mizevach. Someone who does tzedakah, righteousness, charity, umishpat, and justice, is more nivchar la'Hashem, is more chosen for Hashem than the mizbeach, than the altar. Vamar of Elazar also said, Gidola gmilus chasadim yosher mina tzedakah, but kindness is greater than tzedakah. Shenemar, ziru lachem litzedakah, you should sow for tzedakah, v'kitzru, but you should reap lefi chesed according to chesed. So the Gemara says, Yamadam zoreh, if a person sows, safik ochel, safik enu ochel. It's not clear whether you're going to eat or not. He may eat, he may not eat. Depends if it's going to grow. You don't know. It's a suffix. It's a doubt. Adam kotzer, but when a person reaps, vaday ochel, he will definitely eat. Therefore, tzedakah is a great thing, but it is still only a doubt. Chesed is greater. Chesed is a vaday. It is certain that the person will eat, that there will be benefit. And the Gemara explains, Vamar of Elazar, Ein tzedakah mishtalemes, tzedakah is not repaid, meaning the reward for tzedakah is only repaid, elo lefi chesed sheba, only according to the chesed that is found in the tzedakah. Shenemar, as our pasuk says, ziru lachem litzedakah v'kitzru lefi chesed, that it is only according to the chesed in the tzedakah that informs the level of the reward of the tzedakah. So, what does that mean? So, I'm going to read you the Rashi over here as well. Rashi says, So Rashi says, Hatzdaka hi hazria shezoreya. The tzedaka is what you sow. Kidei liktzar, in order to reap, lekabel schar, to get reward. V'kitzru lefi chesed, you should reap according to the chesed, shetekablu schar lefi hachesed sheba. You'll get schar based on the chesed of the tzedaka. So what is that? So he says, Hanesina hiat tzedaka. The giving of the money is the tzedaka. V'hatoreach, but the trouble that you go through, hu hachesed, that is the chesed. Kigon molicha lebeso. Let's say you take the tzedaka to the house of the poor person. O toreach, or you trouble yourself, shetalalo laharbe, to make sure that the tzedaka that the poor person gets ends up being a lot. Kigon, for example, nosen lo pas afuya. You give him already baked bread, rather than giving him money that he has to go buy the bread. If you know that his need is food, that you give him already baked bread. Oh, beged lilbosh, or clothing to wear. Oh, mos, be'es shatfua mitsuya, or you make sure to give him money at the time when the grain is found and the grain is cheap. Meaning you give him the money at the time when it can go over the furthest. He shouldn't lose his money. Means you put your mind for the goodness of the ani. We've talked about this before. Tzedakah is always a wonderful thing, but when tzedakah is given at a time when it's an emergency, when the person has no recourse and they have no money and they're starved for cash, and you give them tzedakah at that time, of course it helps the person. But at that time, the person does not have the wherewithal to take their time, research what's the best way to spend the money, what find the right stores to go to, find the right sales to do. You can't wait. If a person has many needs and they give tzedakah, they have to spend it right away. There's no way to plan on doing it in a way that they can stretch the dollar the furthest. But when tzedakah is given in advance, or it's given at a time when there's an abundance and prices are cheap, so then it enables the poor person to stretch that tzedakah as far as he can. So that's a greater chesed for the tzedakah. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa. Bishlosha dvarim gedola gemilas chasadim yosem inat tzedakah. There are three ways that chesed is greater than tzedakah. Tzedakah b'mamono. Tzedakah is with your money. Gemilas chasadim b'im begufo b'im b'mamono. You can do chesed with your body and you can do chesed with your money. You can do chesed without money, and with money you can also do chesed, as we just explained before. You could do tzedakah in a way where there's chesed laced with the tzedakah. Tzedakah laniyim, tzedakah is only for poor people. Gemilus chesed and bein laniyim bein lashim, but you can do chesed for poor and for rich people. It makes no difference. Everybody needs chesed. Tzedakah lachayim, tzedakah is only for people who are alive. Gemilus chesed and bein lachayim bein lameisim, and chesed is both for those who are alive and those who have already passed on. One can still do chesed, as we know, a chesed shel emes, the truest chesed is with those who have already passed away. Vamar v'lazar v'lazar also said, kol oset tzedakah mishpat, someone who does tzedakah and mishpat, ki'ilu mile kol olam kulo chesed, it's as if they filled the entire world with chesed, shenemar ohev tzedakah mishpat, someone who loves righteousness and justice, chesed Hashem malah ha'aretz, then chesed of Hashem fills up the world. Okay, so you see the contrast. You see that first of all, tzedakah is based on the chesed that is with it, and you see that chesed is greater than tzedakah. So when you do tzedakah with chesed, you get the benefits of both. It's an incredible thing to do it that way. But the Gemara continues. The Gemara says in Bava Kama, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph 17a, the Gemara says as follows. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk in Yeshaya says, it's in Perek Lamed Beis 32. It says, Ashreichem zorei al kol mayim, fortunate are you who plant on all water, Meshalchei regel hashor v'achamor, those who send the feet of the bull and the donkey. So what does that mean? Kol ha'osek b'Torah u'v'milus chasadim, anybody who is involved in Torah and in chesed, zochel enachlas shnei shvatim, that he merits the inheritance of two shvatim. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Ashreichem zorei, it says, fortunate are you who plant, and it says a plural. Vein zria el tzedakah, we know that planting, sowing means tzedakah, shenemar. as it says in our pasuk, Ziru lachem litzdakah v'kitzru lefi chesed, that you should sow for tzedakah and you should reap for chesed. So Zriya, when it says to sow, it's referring to tzedakah. And then it says, I'll call mayim on all water. Vein mayim ala Torah. Mayim refers to Torah. Shenemar, hay kol tzamei luchula mayim. Anybody who's thirsty should go to water. It's referring to learning Torah. So someone who's involved in planting, which is tzedakah, and in mayim, which is Torah, then they are zochet to two shvatim. Which two shvatim? Now you tell me. Shor and chamor, the bull and the donkey.
Yisachar.
Shor is Yosef, and Yisachar is the chamor. Right. So v'zochah l'nachal ha'shnei shvatim, hizochah to Yosef, and hizochah to Yisachar. That's what a person gets for being involved in Torah and tzedakah. Now we understand that Torah is correlated to Yisachar. Yisachar is the shevet of Torah. We know the Yisachar and Zvulun. Zvulun supported Yisachar. Yisachar learned Torah. So that we get. How do we find that Yosef is the shevet of tzedakah? Where do you see that?
When he got the food for
him. Vayichalkel Yosef eskol echav eskol beisaviv. Yosef provided for the entire family. And he in fact told the brothers that don't be upset, I'm not angry at you. You wanted to do bad to me, but Hashem, his intention was that I should be in a position where I can help all of you. So we shouldn't be in trouble because of the famine. So Yosef is therefore is the one who correlates to tzedakah. But it's not just regular tzedakah. It's tzedakah with chesed, as the Gemara brings our pasuk over here. And that the tzedakah that's done with chesed is a greater tzedakah. We learn in Parshas Vayigash that Yosef gave food to his brothers, lechem lefi hataf. He gave bread according to the children. Lechem lefi hataf. Now the simple meaning of that is that it was family size. The more children in the family, so there's a bigger family size, then more food is needed. So he gave more food to people with a larger family and less food to people with a smaller family. He gave according to their needs. So one of the Mefarshim says over there that children, as we know, have big eyes. Children always want to take more, and then they waste the food. And parents are constantly telling the children, don't take, you're going to waste it. What are you wasting your food for? Parents are always doing that. But Yosef understood that a child needs to have more. A child has big eyes. It's a tsar. It's a pain for a child not to be able to fill up the plate, even if they're not going to eat it all. But there is a certain hanah, there's a certain pleasure, there's a certain satisfaction, a certain confidence, a certain sense of security in being able to fill the plate. He gave them lechem lefi hataf. He gave them enough food, even for the children to fill their plates, so they shouldn't feel that they lack. That's what he gave. That's what it means, lechem lefi hataf. So that is a tzedakah lefi chesed. That it's a tzedakah, but he did it lefi chesed. He thought of the needs, not just the actual physical need to eat, but the emotional need to fill the plate. He also thought of that as well in providing for the brothers. And finally, one more Gemara to share with you. This is in Avodah Zarah on Daf Hamed Beis 5b. The Gemara tells us, the Gemara starts with the same pasuk in Yeshaya, but it takes it a little bit differently. What does it mean? Ashrechem zori akol mayim. Fortunate are you who sow on all water. B'shalachei regel hashav hachamor, sending the feet or the leg of the bull and the donkey. Ashrechem Yisrael. Yisrael is fortunate. Bizman sha'oskim b'Torah uv'gemilus chasadim, when we are involved in Torah and we are involved in chesed, yitzram masur biyadam, their yetzer hara is given into their hands. We control our yetzer hara when we are involved in Torah and in chesed and gemilus chasadim together. Ve'ein heim misurim biyad yitzram, they are not given over to their yetzer. Person says, I have this problem, I have this issue, my yetzahara has grabbed me, I'm having trouble letting go of the yetzahara, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I don't want to be doing this, I don't want to be doing that, but I feel like I'm compelled, I'm stuck with my yetzahara. Says the Gemara, that the Navi is telling us, you want to get control of your yetzahara, Torah and Chesed together, you will be in control of your yetzahara. As the pasuk says, "Shenamar Ashrechem Zori Al Kol Mayim." Fortunate are you who are planted on all water. Vein Zria LeTzedakah. We know the planting refers to Tzedakah. Shenamar Ziru Lachem LeTzedakah VeKitzur Lefi Chesed. Our pasuk that it's Tzedakah and Chesed. Vein Mayim Al Torah. Mayim means Torah. Shenamar Hoy Kol Tzamei Luchul Mayim. You should go to water if you're thirsty, which refers to Torah. Meshalchei regel hashor v'achamor, sending the foot of the bull and the donkey. What does that mean? Tana divei Elio, so it was taught divei Elio. Le'olam yasim ado atzmal divei Torah kishor le'ol ulkachamor lamasoy. A person should always put themselves on Torah like a bull to the yoke and like a donkey to the burden. A person should take the burden and the yoke of Torah. So in involving oneself in Torah and in Chesed, then the Yetzirah is given over to Klal Yisrael rather than the other way around. Now, I mentioned it as an individual thing. If a person feels the Yetzirah has grabbed them, so how do they get around this? How do they get control of the Yetzirah? It's through Torah and Chesed. But the truth is, the Gemara says about all of us together that Klal Yisrael, we take control of our Yetzirah collectively when we collectively are involved in Torah and in Chesed, and rather than us being given over to the Yetzirah. So we've talked about this before, that in the ultimate picture of how the Klal Yisrael is, what Klal Yisrael is supposed to look like, what is the in a perfect world, what should we as a people look like? So we talked about this, how that in a perfect world, the Klal Yisrael is focused on producing scholarship in Torah. The entire country, everybody, is working towards the goal of producing scholarship in Torah, which does not mean that everybody studies Torah, but it does mean that everybody is focused that there be scholarship. And the way that happens is that the men who are required to learn Torah whenever they are not doing anything else constructive, they are required to be learning Torah, and the women are required to be enabling the men to learn Torah. And that should be the constant focus of everybody in the country, that is what is happening. And that ultimately produces great scholarship. It doesn't mean that every single person becomes a great Talmid Chacham, but it does mean that Talmidei Chacham are produced. But that only happens when there are a lot of people who are collectively trying to make that happen. That's the way it works. We talked about how the example of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and his son, Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, in the cave, where they became huge Talmidei Chachamim without any supporting role of anybody else. It was just them. But that was unusual. That was exceptional. The Gemara says others tried to do like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and they failed, because Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's example is not something that's for everybody. That was a specific case. They had to run away because their lives were at stake. They would be killed. And so Hashem made it that they were able to do what they did. But that's not the way it's really supposed to work. The way it's supposed to work is that collectively we produce the great Talmidei Chachamim. But that only happens when there is a goal that everybody has. And the way it works is that you have the chesed that everybody is doing in order that there be the scholarship of Torah come forth. That is the way that the country is supposed to work. And that's ultimately the way that Klal Yisrael reaches its potential. The chesed that produces the Torah can be done by anybody, but it is primarily the role of the women. That's the primary chesed that produces the Torah, is v'soras chesed al lishona, as it says in Eish Hashchayil. The Torah of chesed is on her tongue. It is the chesed that enables the Torah, is primarily the role of the women of Klal Yisrael. And so when it says that when Klal Yisrael is involved in Torah and Chesed, that the roles are being done properly, and therefore the focus is that there be Chesed that enable this ultimate learning of Torah, then the Yetzirah is given over to Klal Yisrael. The Yetzirah does not control us, we control the Yetzirah. It's a collective thing. Now, even though, obviously, we do not have the ability to have all of Klal Yisrael, at least at this given moment, fulfill the role of Klal Yisrael. There, to our great pain, there are so many of Klal Yisrael that are so far from these ideals. But we who do understand these ideals, and we who are trying to do the right thing, when we are able to focus in this way, that there's Chesed and there's Torah together, so then that is what enables that the Yetzirah becomes subjugated to us, rather than, God forbid, the other way around, us being subjugated to the Yetzirah. So this is this pasuk that we have here of Ziru Lachem Litzdaka, the Kitzur Lefi Chesed, that is half of the formula, that you have Chesed here in our pasuk, and then you have the Torah as well, and then the two together enable this to happen.
And Rabbi, what you said about the children and Yosef, I will be more tolerant and not get annoyed at Kiddush when I see the children. I've never understood why they would do
after,
that.
After I learned that for the first time many years ago, I also became more tolerant about the whole thing. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.